Welcome to another inspirational message from Bridge Church Melbourne.
Hey, if you got your Bibles, your notebooks, I'm going to share a message today, and the title of it is Fully Surrendered. Fully Surrendered. Can you say fully surrendered? It says in Exodus 3, verse 3 to 5, it says, Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I pray that today, as I speak about things like surrender and obedience to God, that you won't think of things like do's and don'ts, but you would actually realize that when we talk about surrender, it's about falling at the feet of Jesus again and falling more in love with him. It's not out of duty, but it's out of a relationship with Jesus that we say, God, I want to surrender my whole life to you. And I believe for each of us to influence our families, our businesses, our cities, and our nations, we have to live lives fully surrendered to God. We need to understand that oftentimes before God's going to do something incredible through us, he wants to do work inside of us. Amen? If you've been a Christian more than 3 days, you realize God's working on the inside of you and on the inside of me. And he taps us on the shoulder and he whispers to us and he asks us things that maybe, as Pastor Don said, make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. And God wants to do a work inside of us so great that we can live lives significant for him. But I got to tell you today, you and I don't want anything before we're ready for it. If you don't believe me, think about your life in the past and think, man, has anyone done this? You've prayed prayers and you're begging God for something. And then you look for, like, down the track, you're like, thank you, Jesus. You didn't answer that prayer. You're like, I think she's the one. God, give me a girlfriend. Give me a boyfriend. 2 years later, you're like, thank you, Jesus. You know more than I do. I'm so glad I didn't do that. And I'm so glad we got to understand that we don't want anything outside of the timing of God. See, oftentimes God, what he says to you and what he says to me is correct, but our timing can be wrong. Sometimes we receive a prophetic word and 2 weeks later it didn't happen. We're all disappointed and angry at the pastor or whoever it was. And it's not that that word was wrong, it was our timing was wrong. And we didn't realize the timing of God. And we were out of sync, or we didn't realize what God was doing in that season. See, we live in a generation that is a microwave generation, but we serve an oven God. It's true. You and I live in a time where we want everything now. We want it instant, and we want a microwave type of God. And we pray quickly, God, you got to do it now. You got to do it the way I want. But God is a God that loves to marinate and he loves to stew. And he loves to put you in his crock pot and he goes, here we go. I'm going to get you worked. I'm going to soften you, because as much as we think the other guy needs this message, I'm telling you, you need this message and I need this message. Because God is working on your heart. He's massaging things out. He's working on things inside of you. And instead of requesting and asking God to be a genie, say, God, I want to submit to you. I want to submit to your plan. Because when I do things your way, it's not always easy, but I know that it's going to be best. And I know you're going to take me where I need to go. See, my wife was cooking a meal the other week, and she had to go out before it was done. And so she said, Jesse, can you look after and make sure that it's done at the right time? I said, how hard can this be? Simple question. Can you tell me when the meal, how will I know that it's ready? She said, easy. You'll know that it's ready when the top of the pastry is golden brown. And I thought, that's a breeze. You go out, have fun, whatever, enjoy. I got this down. So me and the kids are kicking the footy in the hallway and running amok, wrecking the house, all those kind of things that you do when mum's out. And I ran over to check the oven quickly. So I ran over here, check, it's all good. The pastry is completely white. It's not ready. Run back, playing with the kids again. And I do this about three or four times. The kids by now are starving and are like wild animals in my house. They're running around like crazy. And eventually, after three or four times, I go back to check the meal. And to my amazement, I check it and it's really dark brown. Some would say black. I completely ruined the meal on that night. And what can happen in your life and my life is we want something to happen instantly, but God is actually a suddenly God. See, you want to push a button in your life and make it happen so that in 30 seconds that thing comes out and it's ready. That's not how God works. But what you and I need to do is we need to prepare ourselves so when the suddenly God begins to give you something, or you get a promotion out of the blue, you aren't freaking out. You're prepared and you're ready on the inside to live a life that God has ready for you. Amen? See, God is a suddenly God. He's not an instantly God. And when He's preparing you and preparing me, He's working on our hearts. I want to read you this scripture, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. It says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed." Another version says, "turn towards Him." I pray that here today we would say, "God, do something in me. Yes, do something in me. But let me not be so wrapped up in the blessing of God that I don't steward the blessing of God through my life." See, God's preparing you so that I believe in this place when God promotes you, when God begins to allow your life to flourish and thrive, and you think, man, look at the blessing of God. On the inside, you are large enough to steward it and not get wrapped up in it. See, sometimes people receive something significant and they can't handle it. So they pat themselves on the back and say, "I'm a self-made man and I'm a self-made woman," without stewarding what God is doing in and through their life. See, God has called us to be different, not better than the world around us. And if you want to live fully surrendered, we have to be set apart. We have to be holy before God. We have to live a different life, not a better life so we strut around, but a different life from people around us. It says in 1 Peter 3, verse 9, it says, "You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light." Amen? See, we're a chosen people. First thing, if you're taking notes, is being fully surrendered happens when you pursue God. See, Exodus chapter 3, verse 3, as I read earlier, Moses says, "I must go and see this. I got to see a burning bush." And he goes to get closer to it. And as the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, guess what God did? He spoke. He began to speak when Moses began to move. God didn't actually speak until Moses moved. Some people say to me, "Jesse, I'm waiting on a word from God." I said, "What are you waiting for? Lean into God. Press into God." Some people are sitting down and saying, "I'm waiting for God to turn up." I'm like, "What are you waiting for? Press into God. Open the Word of God," as Pastor Don said. Begin to pray. Begin to set a time aside for God. Don't just wait on God to do something, but when you begin to get closer to God, He begins to speak to you. He begins to reveal truth to you. See, God is a whispering type of God. Have you ever been in church? I grew up in church. I'm a pastor's kid, a missionary's kid. So you think you have problems. I got way more problems than you do. And I grew up in church. And who's ever met a close talker in church before? Not in this church, the one down the road. Who's met a close talker? So we have people sometimes in our church that come to speak to me. And they come up and they're like this close. And I'm reaching for the extra or the mint. Because I think, you don't need to tell me what you had for dinner last night. I know. And as they're breathing over me, they're so close to me. They're this close. And I start the conversation here, and I'm slow. Yeah, that's really interesting. And as I'm walking, they're still moving closer towards me. Anyone know what I'm talking about? A close talker. Guess what? God is exactly the same with you. He wants to speak to you up close and personal. He wants to invade your space and get right up in close to you so He can whisper to you and speak things into your situation. God doesn't mind bursting your space, and your he wants to invade your space, but he only will talk to you close. He will talk to you with a whisper. See, when my kids were really little, I used to play hide and seek with them, and they're a bit older now, so they're a bit too cool for me. But when they were younger, they used to play hide and seek, and I would send them upstairs. And I'll say, you go upstairs, count to 20, and you can come and find me. So they run upstairs, they start counting, and I go over here, and I'm hiding behind something. And they're upstairs counting 10, 15, 20, and they run downstairs, and they see me hiding behind this. I'm the worst hider in the world. And the kids come downstairs, and my daughter runs to me, and she goes, I found you, Daddy. And I think, oh my goodness, you are the best finder in all of history. I can't believe you found me. See, what God does with you and me is he plays hide and seek. You got to hear me right. You might have heard this before. But he doesn't hide things from you. He hides things for you. So God actually wants to be pursued. He wants to be wooed. When I was pursuing my wife, I said, you look beautiful, babe. You look, babe, your hair, your eyes. You know when if you want to woo God, if you want to pursue God, you begin to worship him. You begin to lift him up. You begin to lift up the name of Jesus. Guess what? God begins to come near to you as you begin to go near to him, and he begins to whisper into your situation. And if we're on the other side of the room, we won't hear the whisper of God. We need to be close to him. It's all about proximity with God so that he can speak to us. I want to encourage you, create room for God in your calendar so that you can hear his voice. It's when God saw Moses pursuing his presence that God began to speak. It's in James where it says, draw near to God and I will draw near to you. See, God speaks to people who pursue, and he leads people who want to be led by him. Jesse, how do you do this practically? I'm glad you asked. I know you want something really profound and something, you know, unbelievable, but the truth is you do it by reading the Word of God. You pursue God by reading the Word of God, praying and worshiping, getting resources, going into the house of God. It's not about how many things you can do, but it's that you're focused on God, that you're attuned to him. Sometimes people say, Jesse, how many chapters of the Bible do you read? I tell people this. I say, some days I read a lot, sometimes I don't read as much. I don't know if you do this, but I go back to my reading plan sometimes, and I've got this one-year Bible reading plan. And if I've traveled or I'm away or there's just so much stuff happening, I run back and look at my iPad and I think, goodness, I got 97 chapters to catch up on. Does anyone else know what I'm talking about, or are you leaving me hanging up here? And I think, oh goodness. See, the truth is, it's not about reading 95 chapters or reading one verse. It's that you get a word from God. So whether you read chapter after chapter after chapter, I know people that do that, they walk away unchanged. They walk away and their shoulders are broader and they're more proud. And I think, goodness, that's no good. And then I know other people who read a few verses and say, God, would you speak to me? God, would you help me be a better husband? Would you help me be a better father? Would you help me lead in my business better? And you begin to lean into the voice of God and he speaks to you. See, it's about getting alone with God and getting a word from God. If you just go through the motions and just do the same thing over and over, but you're not open to what God is going to say to you, it's just religion. We need to get alone with God and say, God, today, give me a word. See, some people say, I'll read the word when God tells me to or nudges me to. I hear a lot of funny stuff. And the truth is, he won't push you. God's a gentleman. He won't shove you into the secret place. Hey, come, you're coming with me today, buddy. Drag you in there. No, no, no. He wants to speak to you, but he wants to be pursued. I want to give you a tip on hearing from God and getting into the presence of God. Give God the best time of your day. Prioritize God. Give God your best time of your day. If the best time is in the morning, don't give him 11 p.m. at night, because you're going to have one eye falling asleep and you're going to be like, God, are you even here? Give God the best time in your day and say, God, I want to honor you with this time. Who here has ever been to an all-you-can-eat restaurant? Any Americans? Yes, a few. In America, they're obsessed with it. I was actually in England earlier in the year, and I'd never been to one of these, but they had an all-you-can-eat Indian restaurant. And I thought, I'm in heaven. This is the best thing I've ever heard of. And as big as my eyes were when I walked in looking at the garlic naan and the vindaloo and the chicken tikka and all this, you're getting hungry, I know. And all of that, as big as my eyes were when I sat down to eat, I thought, I'm going to eat this place out of business. That's how hungry I am. I've been saving all week for this meal. And I'm going to eat this place. As hungry as I was, I got ready to eat and I got as much food. Eventually, there came a point where I was too full. And I said, please, no more vindaloo. Please, no more naan bread. I cannot eat anymore. See, in the natural, when you eat, you get full. But in the spirit, when you eat, you get hungry. Some people didn't get that. See, in the natural, when you eat and you go and have the chicken wings and the fries and all this stuff, eventually you will get completely full. But in the spirit, when you eat, you actually get hungrier. Some people are wondering why they don't have an appetite for God. I would ask, do you read the Word of God? If you have an appetite for God, do you pray? Because what will happen is when you begin to pray, your appetite will grow. Some people think it just happens. No, it doesn't just happen. It's as you get into the presence of God, as you open His Word, as you make a habit of time in the Word of God. I remember my pastor used to say, Pastor Dave, he used to tell me, Jesse, time with God is never wasted time. And I used to walk and pray down by the river and put my worship on and think, why isn't God speaking to me? And we're always wanting something from God, not wanting time with God. I want to encourage you in your time with God, if you want to be fully surrendered, don't be in such a hurry to have something instant. Just be in a hurry to be with God. And what you'll find is your appetite becomes so great that you're actually dying to get home and spend time with God. Your favorite time in the day will be, God, I just want to spend some time with you. I feel like work's been getting me down. I've been stressed and anxiety is everywhere. I want some time with you. If you want to live fully surrendered, you got to live a life that pursues God. Is that good? See, something is activated by seeking. God has set a table for you, and He says, come and eat. I will feed you. If you're hungry, I will feed you. And your hunger will be cultivated and cultivated. And maybe it's not on the first day. Maybe it's not on the second day. But God will begin to put that inside of you where you desire the things of God even more than the things around you. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, it says this. It says, but you, when you pray, I want to stop you there. That actually means we pray, just so you know. It doesn't actually say, but when Pastor Corey prays, Pastor Don, yeah, he'll pray for me. Yeah, that's what his job is, isn't it? He's got to pray for me and stuff. But it says, when you pray. When you pray. Turn to the person next to you and say, when you pray. When you pray. I want to give you a quick tip. This was for free. This wasn't in my notes. In this chapter, it says when you pray, and then it says another thing. So it's expected that as a Christian, you pray. I know this is really obvious, but maybe it's just you need to create 5 minutes a day. And you go, I'm just going to pray. I'm not going to wait till pre-service. I'm going to pray tomorrow morning. I'm just going to give God 5 minutes. So when you pray, another thing it says in this chapter, it says when you fast. So you can read it for yourself during the week, which means that doesn't only happen once, but create a habit where you fast, where you cultivate a hunger for God. In this chapter, you can read it yourself. It says one other one, and we hate talking about this stuff. It says when you give. So it's expected as believers, or it's a part of our everyday life, to be prayers, to be people that fast, to be people that are generous in every occasion. That's just who we are. That was for free anyway. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door. Another version says, shut the door. I like that. Everyone says, shut the door. Don't worry, it's not rude. Just, you know, shut the door. And some of you need to be a bit aggressive with your time and your calendar in your week. And you need to actually go to a physical door, walk up to your room and remember that and go, I'm going to shut the door. That's it. I'm going to spend some time with God. Maybe you need to shut a car door. Maybe you need to shut a bathroom door. If you've got kids, lock yourself in there. God, it's you and me in here. Those kids are driving me mental. I need time with you. I'm going to shut a bathroom door. You can tell I'm a parent. I know what this is like. You might need to go in your car, shut the car door and drive and say, God, this worship time is my time with you. Shut the door and pray to your Father who is in the unseen or in secret, it also says, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Approach God like a dad. My kids, this is how kids approach dad. 3 a.m. in the morning, for goodness sake, I'm dead to the world. I hear this. Dad. Dad. I'm thirsty. Oh, any parents know what I'm talking about? If you're not a parent, write it down. This will come. I'm thirsty. I'm like, is that what on earth is happening? I think it's a dream. And then it keeps going, I'm thirsty. I'm stumbling around. Go downstairs, get water, and bring it to my kids. I'm still asleep. Barely can get the cup to them. And then I go back to sleep. If anyone in my church in Bangkok were to call me at 3, number one, I would not pick the phone up. Number two, I'd say, why are you calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning? But my kids, on the other hand, can approach me like that. And it says here, approach God like a dad. Approach him like a father. Get your nag on. You don't have to be such a religious and God, if you have the time, I know you like saving the world and stuff. Would you, if you've got a minute in the day, would you come and like do this and help? No, you got to begin to nag God. He's your dad. Become like my children who begin to cry out and say, I need a drink, God. I need a drink, God. I'm thirsty. I need something from you. So let's approach him like a father. But the last thing I want to tell you is it says, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. He's in the secret place. Jesse, but I thought he was on the throne. Yeah, he's on the throne, but he's in secret. I thought he was in heaven. Yeah, he's in heaven, but he's in secret. I thought he was in the house of God. Of course he's in the house, but he's in the secret place. I want to ask you, do you have a secret place with God? Do you have a chair that you sit on? Do you have a place that you walk? Do you have a place that you've created to say, God, this is me and you. This is my time for you. I want to open my heart. And maybe you once did and you think, I've got so busy that I've stopped creating time for that secret place with God. If I could have the amazing keyboard player back up, that'll be good. And he makes me sound beautiful. I want to tell you, it will change your life if you create a time and a place for God. And every single time, God will meet you there. Even before you're there, God's already there. Because His scripture says He's already in the secret place. So the Father's already there, and He's waiting for you and me to shut a door. Maybe shutting a door is get your phone, get your computer, get your Apple Watch, get your iPad, and get it in another room. Shut a door. Don't you dare walk in there with all your gadgets. It's no longer secret. It's no long. If you're anything like me, the AFL scores are coming up and are they winning? Oh, just a sec, God, I'm just trying to check. Just me. Create a secret place. Create a time where you just say, God, I'm approaching you like dad. Give me a drink today. Help me in this area. And as you spend time and cultivate that time, you'll find that you don't just fill up and then you kind of cap it, but you get hungrier. You get hungrier for the things of God. If you're further in your journey with God, you should be hungrier today than when you were younger. If you've been serving God for many years and going, I've been working hard, allow God again to refresh you today and to speak to you today as you create time for Him. See, to be fully surrendered is to pursue God, but you need to create a secret place to be fully surrendered. The other thing is the answer is always yes. In your life and my life, have we got to a point in our life before God ever tells you anything, would the answer be yes immediately? Or would you negotiate your way out of what God was asking of you? Because we're super good at that. Or before God says it, have you already said yes? To be fully surrendered means the answer's already yes. Give this away. Serve here in the church. God, but it's so hard. I want to sleep. The answer's yes. God, my life is fully surrendered to you. The other thing I want to tell you is to seek God as you live a fully surrendered life. Seek God with the intention of obedience. When you seek Him and you go into the secret place and you kneel down before God, don't demand God and not expect Him to ask anything of you. I was in a meeting just like this, and I was worshiping with my wife. My wife was on $17,000 a year, and I was at Bible college, which means I cost us money. And I was worshiping, and we said, God, we'll do anything for you. We'll do whatever you want. And God said, give $1,000 away. I said, I rebuke you, Satan. I said, ask the rich guy down the aisle. The guy over there, he's got 10 businesses. Ask that guy. God said, no, I'm asking you. Is the answer yes? Or will you negotiate? And even with little, we said, God, everything is yours. Everything is yours. The answer is yes. We're seeking you with the intention of obedience. I'm not seeking you just for what I can get from you. I'm seeking you because my life is yours. My life is not my own. So God, I want to step out in faith when you ask me to. I want to serve you when you ask me to. I want to tell you, friends, some of you are saying, God, speak to me in this service. And God spoke to you a while ago and you left it on the shelf. Why would God give you and me a new word if we didn't obey the previous word? Ouch, that hurts you and me. Trust me. Why would God speak to us something fresh today? So I want to encourage some of us, go back to things of old. Go back to journals. Go back to last week when God asked you to forgive someone. Why would God speak something new and fresh if we weren't obedient to what He said last? Maybe He's asking you something and you know, and even as I said that, something came straight to mind. I said, oh, be obedient to what God's asking of you.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. It is an incredible privilege to share with you the Word of God, and we trust that you've been blessed by listening. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today we want to extend an invitation to you to begin the faith journey of following Jesus. The Bible teaches us every one of us have been created for relationship with God. Sin has separated every one of us from that relationship, but God has provided a solution in giving us His Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. You have an opportunity today to respond with a confession of faith and a decision to believe in Jesus. Today we invite you to make a deliberate decision to invite Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior. Romans 10:10 says that with our hearts we believe and are justified, and with our mouths we confess and we are saved. So right now, if you have faith in your heart and you're ready to make that decision, you can simply pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. Thank you that through His death and resurrection, I am forgiven of my sin to start a brand new life. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, and to fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Today, I choose you as my Lord and Savior, and I thank you that I am now born again as a child of God. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would love to know and we would love to help you in any way that we can. You can contact us on our Bridge Church website, bridgechurch.com, and we'd love to hear from you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you have been challenged and encouraged.